141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set to return to domestic football after the international break. Rangers go to Hearts tomorrow, with Giovanni Van Bronckhorst confirming John Souter will be out until after the World Cup. Ange Postecoglou says he won't shy away from making changes to his team again, despite defeat to St Mirren last time out. And Stephen Robinson's a frustrated man after a delayed return for one of his international players. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you've got Kenny Miller and Marvin Bartley. Plenty happening on the pitch tomorrow, Marvin. A good international break, but great to have the domestic stuff back.
Yeah, it was a fantastic international break, especially for Scotland. Not so much for England, but looking at the positives, it was brilliant. Obviously saw Ryan Porteous make his debut as well, put in a spectacular display in at centre half. But like you said, it's good to have the domestic stuff back. We travel to St Mirren tomorrow. Who would have thought it's like almost a top of table clash kind of thing, isn't it? Obviously outside of the kind of the big two, so I'm looking forward to that. But no, a lot of good games tomorrow and also on Sunday.
Who's he kidding mentioning?
I was just going to say, don't get carried away, man. It's a top six clash.
I was talking about mentioning England. You've been an adopted Scot for a number of years now. Don't forget about that wee team down the road. But Kenny, it's nice to have a positive international break, but that's very much, you know, starting to get into the rear view mirror. And what a way to come back. Hearts, Rangers, and then five other massive games. A full complement in the top flight tomorrow.
Yeah, it's been a brilliant week for Scotland. I mean, off the mark against Ukraine at Hampden with a sensational performance, convincing win. Then a no as glamorous performance, but equally controlling, got the job done, having come in to show a bit of character to come from behind against Ireland. And then the game on Tuesday night, it was job done. You know, you needed to come away with a point. We got the job done. We rode our luck at times, but it's done now. Everything that was talked about has been achieved over that 6-7 days, and now we can look forward to the domestic scene coming back. And again, I think everybody misses it when it's these international breaks. Yeah, you love supporting the country and getting right behind them, but everybody will be looking at 12:30 tomorrow for Hearts Rangers.
0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Kenny Miller, 69 Scotland caps. Marvin McBartley, adopted Scot. Yes, we're happy about the international break, but surely all eyes starting at Tynecastle tomorrow and then looking ahead to a fantastic return of domestic football. The managers have been speaking today as well. Rangers fans, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has been updating you on the injury list, particularly in defence. What do you make of that? How disappointed are you to hear John Souter will be out until after the World Cup? And no jokes about which World Cup. Come on, I've seen them on Twitter all afternoon. Huge game though. I mean, still selection issues, I guess, for Rangers. Who leads the line? Because you go to Tynecastle, then there's Liverpool during the week. Is it Morelos or Colak tomorrow, with a view to midweek? Are we already back to the goalkeeping situation? We've done that nearly every week. But I feel like these games are so big that you'll have something to argue about. Certainly Celtic fans, Ange Postecoglou, talking about learning lessons from the St Mirren game. Get all your thoughts in right now, please. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. It's a great card to welcome it back, Marvin, because Hearts Rangers is always a sort of standout fixture anyway. You look at some of the criticism Rangers were getting before the break. Who would have thought Celtic would go into the break on the back of a defeat as well? So everyone's just been left to mull it over for 2 weeks, and now we're back.
Most definitely. And like you said, it's a massive game tomorrow for Rangers. I felt some of the criticism was probably harsh. I think obviously they lost to Celtic domestically, had a tough night in Europe, but they're playing in the Champions League, as I said before. You know, that's a top tier of football. And I just felt, you know, a few people overreacted to kind of the results. You know, I get that they, you know, want Rangers to win every single game. The players are the same, the manager's the same. But sometimes you have to look at it and say, do you know what? Teams like Napoli, they're going to beat you. I think going tomorrow's game, it's massive for them, but I think they can definitely win. You know, Hearts are a good team, but Rangers have top players. Yes, they've had a couple of off nights and whatever else, but, you know, I think Gio will look at tomorrow's game and then you look forward to the Liverpool game. I don't think you'd think about resting players for the Liverpool game tomorrow because it's too tight in the league.
Massive game that, isn't it, Kenny? Because in 190 minutes, depending the outcome, if Rangers go on and win, look at that league table, they'll be top. Pressure goes on Celtic. It will feel like the sort of sticky performances before the break were a long, long time ago. Should Rangers not win, the reaction on here will be furious. The Dundee United victory, that was just papering over the cracks, and we get away with one because Celtic dropped points against St Mirren, and now we go to play Liverpool on the back of this. It's going to be an absolute cracker in the capital.
It will be, and you know, and I've actually loved the way Robbie Nielsen's attacked the media this week in relation to what his team are looking to do. I mean, Rangers will be looking to win to go top. Hearts are talking about jumping the Rangers into second spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's fighting talk for Robbie, to be honest with you, but there's no way going away at his home ground with the fans that will be turning up expectant that he's just going to kind of roll over and allow Rangers to come through and take the 3 points. And there'll be it always is a good game. It's a tough place to go. Again, it's a cliche, but Hearts are a very, very good team, you know, and they're going to make it tough for Rangers, because the criticism may be harsh. The reality is that the performances out with the Celtic game, the two European games, have not been up to a standard for Rangers this year. They've not reached the levels that team's capable of, and that's why those three results, the Celtic game and the two Champions League games, heavy defeats that they were. Also, it's coming off some not so good performances against the lesser teams in the league as well. So it's a big, big test tomorrow for Giovanni. Like you said, a lot of selection problems. Who leads the line? Who potentially partners Conor Goldson? Does Leon King hold his spot as well? So there's a lot of things surrounding it, a lot of issues that are surrounding the game tomorrow. And then they've got a small task of going to Anfield on Tuesday night.
Yeah, easy as that. Right, come on then, answer the man. Who plays in goal for Rangers? Who plays up front for Rangers? Who partners Conor Goldson for Rangers tomorrow? These are just some of the decisions Giovanni van Bronckhorst is facing. Why not give him some answers, give him some helpful hints, as you always do. 0141 951 1025, right now please. It certainly won't be John Souter, because he will be out until after the World Cup. And the manager says he's got sympathy, but he is pain free for the first time in months.
Well, I have a lot of sympathy for John. I mean, he has problems, you know, we had before. Still, he brought the problem with him when he changed teams, and we needed to operate him again. So he feels much better now. You know, it's always difficult to play with pain. So you know, this is the first time in many months that he's pain free now, and he can do his rehab. So hopefully that's the end of all the difficult times he has, and bring him back to full fitness and get him going.
It's a real difficult one. Your sympathy obviously goes to John Souter first and foremost. Can't be easy for him. He's had all these injury problems. Then from the Rangers fans' perspective, everybody said the same thing when he signed. If he can stay fit, blah blah blah. And then the rest of the sentence follows. The if has been doing a lot of heavy lifting so far.
That is, and it is a shame. I mean, it's the first time I've actually heard really address the situation and go into a little bit of detail, albeit still a little bit vague in relation to when he'll be back, actually what the problem was. But it's a shame for John, because he's moved to a big club. There was a lot of questions surrounding, firstly, obviously fitness. It's the obvious one with the injuries that he had. But there was a lot of chat last season as well about the character of the player showing it. He's fought back for these injuries, got back into the international team. Again, it was an obvious signing for Rangers in relation to who's right on our doorstep, who needs to be signed for Rangers to partner Conor Goldson and replace Balogun, replace Bassey. So it's a shame for him. Yep, Rangers fans will be disappointed, because there is a lot of uncertainty surrounding not just John Souter in that position. You've got Davis as well. He's not really been seen in a Rangers jersey for one reason or another. So there is these question marks are always going to be there. The one thing is, you just wish John gets back to some kind of level of fitness quickly, because he'll be eager to get pull on that Rangers jersey and start to make an impact at the club.
Absolutely. For games of this size, there are often debates about who should play. Rangers fans at the back, who partners Conor Goldson, who's in goal, is it Morelos or Colak? Anything that you think ahead of tomorrow's game, please get in touch. Scott's in East Kilbride. First up, what are you thinking about tomorrow, Scott? What jumps out at you has been the biggest selection headache?
Good evening, guys. Selection headache is always the same, isn't it? Who plays up top? Personally, for me, I'd stick with Colak. I don't think you can drop the guy there now. I would like to hear Kenny's opinion, to be honest. I listen to a lot of Rangers podcasters these days, and it's a classic. It's the Rangers does, you know, a lot of the time, and they keep going back to the classic 4-4-2s, you know, back in the day. But obviously, football's changed. Personally, I wouldn't play the two of them together. They're telling me Morelos could drop him into a 10, but the way Rangers play, the wing-backs bombing up, you've got the wide men. If you have Morelos in there too with Čolak, you've instantly lost that midfield battle. And for there, once you do that, you're struggling. Just like Kenny's thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't think they'll play together, Scott. That's pretty clear for me for a number of reasons. I mean, Giovanni's kind of set his stall out pretty much the way he plays. Even when he went the kind of back three, back five, if you want to call it that, it was still never really two recognised strikers within that team either, which that is a formation that you could get two strikers in it, but it was never going to happen. We've probably not seen it unless Kamar Roos played under Steven Gerrard a couple of times, but Giovanni's not done that, and he likes his 4-3-3, his 4-2-3-1, and in that system is what is one recognised nine, and I think that'll be the way it is. The positive on it is you've got two really, really good players that are going to be fighting for that jersey and hopefully pushing each other on and driving each other to be better. But Morelos is not going to play as a 10. He's not going to play, and I don't mean this in the wrong, he's not going to play second fiddle to somebody. If you know, he's a number nine, he's a focal point, and he can run a back line on his own. So I don't see him playing that role in a partnership. Yes, there was a lot made of his game last year, maybe coming off too much at the start of the season, maybe not being in the right positions in the box to score the goals that he had been scoring previously. But I think he is the focal point of the team. I can't see him playing in a more withdrawn role. And if he did do that, you're right, you lose a player in the midfield area if you're going to do that. So I just can't see it happening. But like I say, there is positives to it as well. Two top players that are fighting for the number nine jersey.
See, Marvin, I know what you're thinking. Scott's come on here and directed his question at Kenny because he's an ex-Rangers player, but actually I think it's because you never spent any time in the opposition penalty box.
Did a couple of times.
So it was more along that area of expertise. Scott thinks, you know, Čolak tomorrow, and this is where we can do what managers say they won't do. You know, this sort of one game at a time, fine.
Yeah.
Alfredo Morelos started against Napoli, which was, that was a huge game, and he was given the nod. Then he didn't play at all against Dundee United, a game in which Čolak scored twice. As far as league games go, away at Tynecastle is about as big as they come, and then there is the Champions League. So what happens tomorrow, and does that impact Tuesday?
Yeah, I think Čolak, I agree with Kenny. I think he leads the line. I think it's very, very difficult to drop somebody after they scored two goals, you know, when you are a centre forward. But again, you know, you're looking forward to the Liverpool game. It all depends what happens tomorrow. You know, you've got two top strikers there as well. But again, playing them together, you can't do it. 4-4-2 for me is kind of outdated in the modern game, especially away at Tynecastle. You know, get overrun in the middle. It doesn't make any sense to go away from your kind of your philosophy just because you've got, you know, two strikers who hopefully they should be starting. But I think Čolak starts tomorrow. I think if he performs again, he should keep the jersey for the game at Liverpool. I think that's the way football should work. No matter who you are, if you've got the jersey, you play well, you should keep it.
I mean, Scott, news at the back today, John Souter not fit till after the World Cup, Philippe Helander, you know, do we start to see Ben Davies? What's the situation there? Is it Leon King? Is it James Sands? What do you think?
Oh, it's a blow missing a guy like Souter. He was last season, he was brilliant for Hearts, best player possibly with Gordon. tomorrow, I would like to see Davies start, get some game time, even an hour or so, you know, and then get him in for Liverpool. If he doesn't start tomorrow, obviously he's no chance against Liverpool, and I'll be back to Sands. And to be honest, if it is Sands tomorrow and midweek, I wouldn't have a problem with it. He's not a centre half, I know that, but he's come in, done a job. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I'd like to see Sands get a chance in the middle of the park, mind you. You know, start retaining Lundstrom and Sands when we can get that chance, because Lundstrom's looked to me a bit leggy at times. I don't know if he's carrying a knock as well. It's just not been mentioned. He's not looked as sharp as he did last season, Lundstrom. So I think there's issues in a few areas for Rangers just now, but I think I actually looked ahead of the fixtures in October. It's not too bad. I know we've got Lovie at home as well, so that'll be an easy game for
oh, it's just I was wondering if it was like one of them.
No, I knew he had them.
Did you? I thought he was just going to leave it as if it wasn't, you know, just as if it wasn't a joke. Maybe it's not a joke, to be fair. I don't know if he was aiming that at you or not. Thank you to Scott in East Kilbride. We've got me confused here. We've got a couple of Scots on the line. This one, that was East Kilbride. We're going on to Scott in Govan. What's your point for the guys tonight, Scott?
Hi guys, hope you're well.
Thank you.
My point's to Kenny. After hearing about John Souter, and I'm not having a go at John Souter here, I'm having a go at Rangers here. Why do we keep signing players that's carrying injuries? Souter, Davis, the boy that came when he's got a heart condition, which we don't know anything about. Why do these players keep coming through? Is it something to do with Rangers not doing their job right, or are they just, I don't know, I'm asking Kenny, how do they always slip through?
Kenny?
You know, I think in John Souter's case, I mean, I'm not going to talk about other ones, but John Souter, like, his injury problems are there for all to see. But when he's played, he's looked a very, very good player. He's made it into the international scene. Again, the previous caller thought he might have been Hearts' best player alongside Craig Gordon last year. I think when he plays, there's definitely a case for that. But you can't get away from the injury issues. And when Giovanni's just talked there, and it's the first time I've heard that he's came here with that injury.
So yeah, that was interesting.
It was very interesting. But
What does that mean? Because he wasn't injured as such, because he played. He played in the Scottish Cup final against Rangers, was excellent. In the summer, he then played twice for Scotland. They came back, played the first. So, if it was something he came with, at what point does a medical flag that up, or does it not?
I think the medical flags up big issues. And if he's had an ongoing problem, it might have been a minor problem. It's one of these injuries, potentially, that he could have got over and he could play through. Hence, he started the season. He finished the season as well with international games and a cup final, and then he started to be available for the first games of this season. It's clearly been a problem. He's not been able to get over, and there's had to be another operation on whatever part of the body it is, because again, we've not, is it Achilles, his ankle? Again, I'm not too sure. So, but I understand the frustrations with the fans, because when you're signing players and there is constantly players that are injured that have just came to the club and not available, it doesn't look good, particularly when the team's not playing the way everybody wants him to be playing. But in relation to John, I think he's signed a pre-contract, you know, so he's still got 5 months to play before he actually comes in through the doors at Murray Park. So there could have been issues that are picked up there, knowing John's injury record. So
he did miss 2 months just before the cup final.
He was fighting back to get back,
remember,
for a number of players were, to get back for that final. But and John was one of them. So clearly, for me, it looks like there's been an issue that he felt, you know what, it's a cup final, I need to try and play for the cup final. And when coming through pre-season at Rangers, it's still been an ongoing issue, and he's just not got over it, and now we're probably not going to see him till Christmas time. So it is frustrating, but like I said, it'll be more frustrating for John, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's important. He's had a really tough time, and you know, that must be really difficult. But Scott, as a Rangers fan, Marvin thinks that it's some sort of slight on the club that these things are happening.
But I think, you know, as a club, Rangers looked at it. Yes, John Souter, we all know about his injury record before, but I think you look at your own medical department, you think, you know, if we can get him here, if we can do these sorts of things, and can we keep him fit? I think when a player of that quality becomes a free agent, you have to sign him. It's a no-brainer. I don't think there was many people out there who would say he's not good enough if he is fit to play. And like you said, it is a massive if. But if he was fit and he was available for all games this season, John Souter would be playing, because he is a top, top player. We saw him do it for Scotland. We saw him do it for times at Hearts last season. It's just unfortunate that he's picked up another injury, and these things happen in football. It's part and parcel of it. But do I think it's a bad signing? No. Yes, it was a risk. And unfortunately, at this moment in time, the risk isn't paying off. But as you said, you know, our heart kind of goes out to John Souter, because he's the one who's going through this tough time after getting his dream move, by the way. A massive move for him, going from, you know, Hearts to Rangers. Domestically last season, when he was fit, he's probably one of the best centre-halves in the league. And it's just unfortunate he's not been able to hit the ground running there because of the injuries.
What do you think, Scott?
No, I get that. And like I said at the start, I'm not having a go at John Souter. I just feel that, just get back to John Souter now then. So, in hindsight, the player, when he comes and signs for the club, should they not say, listen, I'm carrying this injury. Don't put me in the first couple of games. I don't know if I'm going to... Because in hindsight, that's him out for, what, 3 months? 2 months, 3 months? So you just think, is the player going to take a wee bit of responsibility here and look after his future and not think, I've got to get into this first team?
But obviously, Scott, I think he felt that he was fit enough to play because, you know, obviously, you being a Rangers fan, he played against us first game of the season. You know, injuries can be picked up at any time. You know, it could be in training.
I think Scott's referencing because of what we just heard from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, saying it was something that he had at his previous club.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's coming back straight away. It means he could have been fit for a period of time and unfortunately he's broken back down. You know, these things, doesn't mean because he had it at his previous club, he's always had it.
Thank you, Scott. 01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025. There's not much these two don't know about league football in Scotland, and we are back. Six games in the Premiership tomorrow. Great games down the divisions as well, and the international break is in the memory bank for now. Let's bring in Nadeem, who's a Rangers fan. What are you thinking about tomorrow then, Nadeem? Huge game, isn't it?
Hi, thanks Gordon for my call. It's a massive game, especially after the three games preceding that, you know, the kind of heavy defeat. So I thought we played really well before we got placing it off against Napoli. But yes, it's definitely a big game. The reason I had phoned was, you asked a question earlier on the show there, Gordon, about who you'd play in those kind of three positions, the goalkeeper, defence and striker. For me, you've got to play McGregor in goals. He's shown in the game that he came back against Napoli that he's still a top player, and I think you've got to play him in between the sticks. In terms of who you play at the back, that's one of the big points I had, and I'll speak to the producer about that. I think Kenny and Marvin have just touched on it there in terms of, you know, he was a free signing, so absolutely it's a no-brainer, and I 100% agree with that. You know, you take the risk there, but you know it's a risk. Always career has been blighted by injury, so you know it's probably going to happen again. The risk is quite high. So why not sign players to complement that? I know he's signed Davies, but Davies is injured as well. So for me, the whole signing policy when it comes to the last couple of transfer windows have been really poor, especially in terms of, you're talking about letting Leon Balogun go. For me, he was a really good, you know, centre half. He was quick. He was hardly injured. You know, he played whenever he was called upon, and whenever he was called upon, he played well. Why would you let a player like that go when you know you've got a centre half there who's prone to injury? And in terms of playing up front, I think it's got to be Colak up front, especially domestically. I think he's absolutely better suited domestically, especially with the form that he's on. But certainly away to Anfield. During the week, I would absolutely play Morelos. I think he's a better complete striker to play in Europe.
Yeah, now here's the problem. I'm not sure Giovanni Van Bronckhorst specifically cleared up whether John McLaughlin was fit or not today. We're still in the era for some clubs of Zoom press conferences and one question each, and you don't sometimes get round all the issues specifically the way that you previously did. But that's a different story for a different day. Can we assume he's fit? For the hypothetical purposes of this conversation, I think clearly we have to. If he's come back after the international break, he did miss the Scotland squad. Alan McGregor played the last two, obviously, and did good things against Napoli.
I would play Alan McGregor in goal. Absolutely no doubt about it. If John McLaughlin is fit, and like you say, we're not sure at all if he is or if he isn't, then Giovanni's got a decision. You know, does he kind of retract the initial decision that he's made and go back on it and think, you know what, John's not the number one, and Alan goes back in? And if that happens, I think that it's not admitting a mistake, but it's going back on a big, big decision that he had made at the start of the season, that John McLaughlin was going to take over as the number one. For me, if Alan McGregor plays, it would be the right decision. Up front, the Colak Morelos thing, I can just see it happening over the course of this, particularly this month. There's a lot of games this month, big games as well, so I can see Giovanni spelling both of them. Is Alfredo really up to speed, fully up to speed and ready to play three game weeks or two games in 4 days? I would have to say no, based on he's just not had the minutes in his legs in the first 2 months of the season. So I think there will be it might be Colak tomorrow and it might be Morelos on Tuesday or vice versa, but I still think Morelos moving forward is still a better option up front based on what he brings to the team. So it'll be interesting to see, but there's good options there. I think I'm really intrigued to see if John McLaughlin is fit, what the decision would be.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, if John McLaughlin's been told he's number one goalkeeper and he is fit for tomorrow, then you expect him to go back in. Obviously, it's a massive, massive call because you do have Alan McGregor there. Everyone knows his capabilities, as you said, against Napoli. You know, without him in goal, the score would have been a lot, lot higher. But if John is fit for tomorrow and he's been told, as I said, he's number one, then I expect him to go back in. I want to see Ben Davies play tomorrow. I know King's done really well. Mm-hmm. He came in at right back for Tav against Ajax. You know, he started against Dundee United. But I think when you spend that much money on a centre-half, if he is fit to play, I think it's now time for him to step up and play.
I mean, I think Giovanni Van Bronckhorst said today, Nadeem, that he's fit and available I mean, I'm sure he was asked, so this isn't a criticism of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. He was asked to think about Ben Davies and a number of other players, and he mentioned him as being fit and available, but he was for, I think, the three games prior to the break. It's now 3-4 weeks where he's been there and on the bench. If it's not tomorrow, Nadeem, when do you see him from the start? Or is he just simply not first choice at the moment?
Well, Gordon, I mean, that's a million-dollar question, you know, but if he has been fit for the last few games, why has he not played? Why is he playing Sands in there, who isn't a centre-half? He's done okay. He's not been brilliant, but I don't think he's been poor, but he's done okay. But why are you playing him as centre-half if Davies is fit? As Marvin said, you spent a few million pounds on Davies, so play him. You know, if you bought him and it's Giovanni's signing, it's not as if it's anybody else signing, it's his signing. Play him in the squad. The other point, I think, what Marvin said earlier on, I don't know if I agree with that. Marvin said that, you know, McLaughlin's been told he's number one, then he's got to play him. You know, I don't think he's number one anymore. That's the point. If McLaughlin was still number one, he would have played against Napoli. To my knowledge, he wasn't injured. I think he was on the bench, wasn't he? So why not play him against Napoli? If he's your number one, you're not going to take him out. I know he made some mistakes in the previous game, I get that, but you're not going to take him out of the squad and hamper his confidence if he's still going to be number one.
Just to dent your theory slightly, Nadeem, he was injured, or he certainly wasn't on the bench. He didn't feature at all against Napoli. I don't know, Kenny, we sometimes fall into this trap. Ben Davies is a great example because he came from Liverpool. Now, I know he didn't play that often, but he came from Liverpool and he comes with a hefty price tag. So you assume that if he's not in this team, it must be some injury thing. Maybe the manager just doesn't think he's first choice at the moment. Maybe other guys are ahead of him.
I would say that's a big point. I mean, he's been fit to play. He can't be match fit. Again, Marv will tell you that when you're coming back from an injury and you're 2 months into a season, what, Rangers 13 games in, 14 games into a season, and he's not had any, you're not going to be at the top of your game. For me, the signings of both Suter and Davies, they still have to show that they can come and be the guy to partner Conor Gould on a regular basis. Being playing for Hearts and doing great is one thing, making the step up's another. By having a tag of a Liverpool player but not playing any games and being, again, coming for the Championship and also then going back into the Championship, you're still got to show you can make the step up, and it does take time. At the moment, we have no evidence to see, is John Suter going to be the long-term partner for Conor Gouldson? Is it going to be Davies? Or are the signings just not going to work out based on them not being good enough to carry the jersey? We don't know that yet. Again, everything would point, like you say, John Suter, domestically, one of our best centre-backs, a free transfer. Of course, it's a no-brainer signing. Yeah, forget the injury record for a second. Ben Davies, it's a Liverpool signing. It's costing a lot of money. Well, there's been a lot of players that have come up for down south to either Rangers or Celtic for big money, and it's not worked out. You know, so, but there's still to be shown if these guys are going to be the long-term partners for Conor Gouldson. And that's why tomorrow, I mean, young Leon King's been waiting in the wings so long for an opportunity. I was even looking at some of the signings. Is that blocking his pathway? I mean, they rate him highly, but you go and sign two centre-backs. One's a Scottish internationalist who's been in and around the first team in our league for a long, long time, and the next is a £4 million, or apparent £4 million signing for Liverpool. So where is he going to get his opportunities? Because it's not as if they're 33-year-old. I would agree, in relation to the Balogun situation, I did feel it was a strange player to let go based on he's played a big part over the last few seasons in Rangers' successes. By all accounts, he's a great lad, really liked in the dressing room. I think with his size as well, they'll lose that, and they have been losing that. Again, you talk about the set play issues that they've had over a few seasons now. He definitely helps with that, so I've been surprised to see him let go.
Thank you, Nadeem. 01419511025. Paul's a Celtic fan. He will be up next, and he'll be in good company. As far as he's concerned, we'll hear from Ange Postecoglou as well.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller are here at 01419511025. We're going to bring Paul in. We've just lost him to a point. I know we haven't. We've got him back. Paul, we go back from international football to domestic football. Celtic lost their previous game. What's jumping out at you ahead of tomorrow's visit of Motherwell?
Well, I was actually away on holiday myself, and I run a mortgage broker's in the Merchant City, so I'm hanging together by a thread tonight. But I just think that
it's not a good time for the mortgages, is it? Honestly, Paul, I'll put your number out on Twitter, right, and folk can phone you for a bit of advice.
Well, I used to be in the Merchant City, so that there's a clue in the name without any product placement, but there you go. Anyway, so I just saw some of the criticism of Callum McGregor last Saturday's game. Then I heard some talk about should he be rested, is he playing too many games. I just wonder what the panels, guys that have played, well, Marvin's still playing at a good level and Kenny's no longer tired, so you know, what is their view on should he be rested? Is the game tomorrow more important than the Leipzig game? And where are they on the whole Callum McGregor?
Just quickly, Paul, when you say criticism Saturday, you mean for Scotland?
Yeah, there was loads online, Gordon. I came back in the country, loads online.
Yeah, no, I was just checking. Yeah, I mean, I think the first Ukraine game he got unbelievable praise for the performance. I don't know what Paul says. There was criticism from the Republic of Ireland game. Maybe there was. Ultimately, Paul's asking, does he need a rest? Because he's played about 1,000 games in the last few seasons at Fields.
Firstly, if there's been any criticism, it's wrong, and it's unwarranted, because his performances is probably one of the most consistent performances you'll see, both for club and country. So that's what I'd say first. Resting? No, I don't think he would need anything. I think when you look at Celtic, when he's a Celtic captain, there's no often that he'll not play. Even if there's a lot of changes to be made to a team, there's no often that he'll be left out, because I think he is the driving force of the team. He can play in a number of roles as well. He can play controller as a deeper midfielder. Again, a lot of people that I speak to would love to see him maybe let off the leash a little bit and get further forward, because I think there's goals and assists in him as well with his creativity and his energy. He's actually pretty quick as well, to be honest with you. You see that when he's travelling with the ball. So no, I don't think he needs it, and I think if there's any criticism being aimed at him, it's definitely unwarranted.
Yeah, like I said, Marvin, I think certainly the Ukraine game he was getting absolute praise all over the place. I don't know, maybe the first half against Ireland everyone was getting a bit of stick perhaps, but you look over the past few years, it did come up last night, it's pretty much the last 7 seasons or so he's averaging like 60 games a season, there or thereabouts. That's my very rough arithmetic.
Yeah, no, but for me, Callum's a fantastic player. You know, people have asked me before about, you know, facing centre midfielders up here, and for me, he's right up there. Consistently, he's been right up there. Even, you know, they struggled for a season, obviously, you know, when Lennon was there, again, he was absolutely brilliant when he first got the captain's armband. People said, you know, would the pressure be too much for him? For me, he's fantastic, a shining light during that team. I did see some of the criticism after, well, the first half of the Republic of Ireland game. I think all the players got it. But sometimes I have to take it as a compliment for Callum, because I think because his standards have been set so high, as Kenny had said there, he's been fantastic for so long. People always look at him to drive that team forward, you know, for him or John McGinn. And I think he did get a bit of criticism, but listen, that's online. You know, people say a lot of things online that I don't agree with. For me, I wouldn't rest him. You know, I'd be saying to him if I'm Ange, I'm saying, are you fit to play? Do you feel okay? Do you feel fresh enough to play? As soon as he says yes, he's on the team sheet. For me, he's that important to Celtic Football Club at this moment in time. So until he turns around and says, you know what, I feel a bit leggy, he'll play every minute of every game for me.
Paul, let's cut through. Let's cut the nonsense. What you really mean is you think poor wee Motherwell don't have a chance, and it doesn't matter if Callum McGregor plays or not. That's really what you're on to say, isn't it?
No, not at all. I think Motherwell are a very well run club, and they always seem to race to the occasion against Celtic or Rangers. I mean, the game, I caught the highlights on the BBC piece for the Republic of Ireland, and McGregor was actually 89 minutes. He was still trying to get into the box to score. Can I make another point to Kenny, Gordon?
Of course.
Kenny, you're I would like you to be the Callum McGregor of pundits, because every time I turn on the radio or the telly, you're there, so you're everywhere like him. But like Ange Postecoglou, you dodged a bullet with the international break. On one of your comments, and I don't know what medium it was on, but you likened Ryan Kent to Jota. I don't know what it was, a monologue. I don't know if I read it online or I had jet lag or whatever, but I clearly see you had something about, like, you've got the same ability as Jota, he's not performing it. It's like, I mean, that's like comparing Ron Artsdeacon to David Cooper, honestly. I mean, it's like, seriously, are you seriously thinking that Ryan Kent is in the same league as Jota.
See, I did see this criticism, and a bit like Paul, I don't really know what you said or where you said it. Oh, you're right, Paul, but basically he does all those other things to warm up for his big shift on a Friday night. What did you say?
Firstly, don't believe everything you read as well. You know what, right? So this is where I sit on this. Who's the best player at the moment in Scotland? I think Jota is performing at the highest level. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Has Ryan Kent got the abilities, natural ability, the technique, the technical abilities? Absolutely has. He is not applying it in the same way as Jota. That is it. And ultimately, that's the proof in the pudding. I never say that Ryan Kent is playing better than Jota. I never say he is better than Jota. I say he has the capabilities within his game that he can put in those types of performances. The problem Rangers have got, and Rangers fans are really frustrated at, they don't see it on the consistent basis that the Celtic fans see. And that's not just Jota, that's Abada on the other side. Or that might be, I wouldn't have quite thrown my head into that bracket, to be honest with you, but this season, Jota and Abada have been sensational. And the reason the comparison comes is because they play in the same positions, and one plays for Rangers and the other two play for Celtic. And that's a natural comparison that you're going to have to make based on the amount of goals that Jota gets, the assists. I throw Abada into that as well. They've had an incredible start to the season, and by the way, they were excellent last season as well, and that's why the comparisons get drawn. I do believe Ryan Kent can get up to these types of levels. Unfortunately, he doesn't, not on the consistent basis that Jota has shown, and even for this season Abada as well.
I mean, I've got a hard enough time keeping you lot in check for the nonsense you say here, never mind stuff you've said elsewhere. Cut me some slack anyway. Thank you, Paul. 01419511025. Ange Postecoglou did his pre-match media conference today. And of course, not many people expected Celtic to go into that break on the back of a defeat at St Mirren. He says they'll learn from it, but insists they're not ready to change too much or abandon anything they've done before.
Every decision we make will be around what team we think will be able to best perform on the day. So if that means making a number of changes, we make a number of changes. If not, we don't. I mean, again, you know, if you use a result of a game as a backdrop to question everything you do, then, mate, you'll go nuts in this game. So, you know, like I said, every game is the same for us. Whether we win, lose, or draw, we look at the performance. You know, we understand why we didn't perform on the day. We give the feedback to the players and we move on. But there's nothing that comes out of one result that, you know, changes my outlook or my approach or what we, you know, sort of want to achieve as a team.
Quite interesting that, Marvin, because in the aftermath of St Mirren, and I guess this is exactly what Ange Postecoglou is referring to, he will not be dictated to specifically by the result, but you understand why fans would be and say, oh, hold on, we can't do that again. We can't make those changes. We just lost a game. It's now only 2 points. We can't make those changes. This proves we cannot make these changes. But the manager there is saying that he's sort of sticking by it, if you like, and saying, you know, I'm maybe putting words in his mouth a bit, but to surmise, he's saying he would do it again ultimately.
Yeah, for me, Ange is fantastic. You know, you listen to his press conferences, whether it's, you know, after they've been beaten by St Mirren or, you know, after they've beaten Rangers, he's very, very calm. He thinks a lot about what he's going to say. And listen, he's a top, top manager, so who are we to argue with him? As he said, you know, he felt that he needed to make the changes. The result wasn't great. Maybe certain parts of the performances he'll look back at and say, this shouldn't have happened. I think the two goals they conceded were very, very soft. But he talks about learning. You know, if a manager of that ilk and the players that he has at his disposal, he's speaking about learning from these games, you know, them going through things, learning that this can't happen again. For Welsh and Rowson, I think down that side, obviously we've got St Mirren next and we've looked at the goals that they conceded. I think there's a massive learning curve for those two boys, two young players who will come again, who will play for Celtic. But days like this happen, you know, but he's not going to panic. He's not going to change what he does as a manager. He's not going to change his philosophy. And if he feels he needs to make those changes again, he will do it. He'll give them a warning. Listen, last time we made these changes, we went out against St Mirren, we lost 2-0. That's not acceptable. So make sure we react in the right way. And like I said, you know, you can listen to his press conferences all day because, you know, want to be a future manager myself, you can learn so much from somebody like that.
There will be force changes. Carl Starfelt, Cameron Carter-Vickers won't be there. So it looks like it would be Moritz Shane, Stephen Welsh. Jackie Mackis hasn't come back fit from international football either. Will he go, you know, is it as strong as possible? Other than them tomorrow, is it unlikely to see a repeat of the St Mirren level of experimentation, even though he says he would do it again?
Listen, he could say he would do it again, and that's absolutely fine. The bottom line is the players that started the game, I mean, they aren't the first choice players. Like, that is it. So the performance level, and I absolutely agree on it, can't be dictated by the result. But the reason the performance level maybe drops is maybe because the players in the starting lineup are not as good as the players that could be in the starting lineup. I think they'll go as strong as they possibly can. What that is, again, I don't know, because they've got a fantastic squad, and that's why Ange's paid the big bucks to pick the team that he feels will go and win this game. But I would expect us to see a more familiar look to the team than what we did against St Mirren, because after a defeat, as he knows, and yes, you're not dictated, a performance is not dictated by a result, because you can play really, really well and not win, and you can play pretty poorly and win. So it's not to be wholly dictated by the result, but when you get beat, Rangers and Celtic, you need to respond and you need to win the next game.
And to be fair, that probably wasn't one of the examples of that, because all the Celtic fans that phoned in here said they didn't like the performance. You know, it's not as if they battered St Mirren, had loads of chances, just didn't take them, and it was one of those days. It wasn't like that.
But that's the kind of point I'm trying to make. You know, when if you've got a team in your mind that you feel is your strongest, and managers, again, particularly someone like Ange, who's got a really, really strong squad at a big club, he'll never really admit that these guys are the first choice and this is the starting team and this is the subs or the reserves. But the reality is there's certain players within every club that if there's a big game playing tomorrow, they're getting played. Jota's going to be one of them. He was missing, so I think that going forward, you miss that quality.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, Beat the Pundit time. Is this the first time you two have ever punditied together in here?
No,
been
it's
on
not.
Before, right? Just
come and be paid last time, though.
I was just trying to...
You don't remember last time we were on and the coin toss landed on me. Marv was actually celebrating the fact that he never got picked.
That's basically where I was going. I was trying to establish if you knew how he behaves during Beat the Pundit. But anyway, we're about to find out. It's 0141 951 1025. The lines close at 7, so if you want to take down one of these two, and please do, that's when you have to call before 7 o'clock and on that number. Your chance to beat the pundits next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller still here. 0141 951 1025, or you can get in touch on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Feel free to send your tweets in over there. Let us know what you're thinking ahead of the return to domestic football after the international break. Some big games to look forward to. However, this is the biggest game of the weekend, no doubt about it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
What a time we've been having on Beat the Pundit, honestly. I mean, you two, I hope you two are more of the entertainers, because we've had Keevans with that. Did he get the 1-0 victory? Yeah. And Simon Donnelly with these 2-1s. I want high scoring, I want excitement, I want drama.
I seem to keep my record going, that's all I care about.
Are you unbeaten this
100%
season?
100% record.
How many have you played, though?
That's not important. That's not what I said. 100% record. I played 3, I think.
I know, because I'm a hypocrite, because I always tell Gordon DL that it doesn't matter how many you've played, it's all about the percentage. Yeah. But I think if you've only played like once or twice.
So I played 3, so.
Okay, fair enough. You've played a few more than that, have you not?
Yeah, I'm up at 6 or 7.
Right,
yep.
Okay. Wow. Lee is in Dunoon. How's it going, Lee?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad, thank you. Not bad. I mean, you're Celtic fan, Lee. What's. What have you got more confidence in? Them beating Motherwell or you beating Marvin or Kenny?
Oh, them beating Motherwell.
I love that.
Don't you just come on and just admit they've got no chance?
I love it.
Was it last night when the guy said he was fairly confident and he usually gets like 4 or 5 playing at home and he got none? So Lee,
I heard that.
You've done the right thing. It's the analogy that I always use. If you're going to sing karaoke, sing after somebody that's hopeless, because it makes you look good. So that's the idea. The last night's guy got a 0. You've not got much to follow, so let's see what we can do. Heads it will be Marvin. Tails it will be Kenny Miller. It is heads, Marvin Bartley. Get that right. You know what? Now it's Kenny Miller's turn to celebrate. So,
man.
Do you know what as well? And I'm going to start my mind games with him, Lee. Some of these are not up your street. Oh. That's all I'm saying.
I'll beat Lee. Doesn't matter.
We'll see.
Good luck, buddy.
Same talk.
Exactly. Let's give him some Clyde 2 to listen to so that he can't hear us. Lee, 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know. Okay?
Okay.
Right then, your 30 seconds. Get on the clock and your time starts now. Which club does Joe Aribo play for?
Southampton.
Who scored more league goals for Celtic, Callum McGregor or Joe Ledley?
Callum McGregor.
Who's currently the longest serving player for one club in the Scottish Premiership?
Pass.
Name any outfield player that played every minute for Scotland over the last week.
Callum McGregor.
Russell Latapy joined Hibs from a team in which country?
England.
How many club teams did Jim McLean manage throughout his career?
Three.
Right, Marvin Bartley, can you hear us?
I can indeed.
Same set of questions, don't blow it now, okay? Everyone's listening. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Which club does Joe Rebo play for?
Southampton.
Who scored more league goals for Celtic, Callum McGregor or Joe Ledley?
Ledley.
Who's currently the longest serving player for one club in the Scottish Premiership?
Scott Pittman.
Name any outfield player who played every minute of the previous three Scotland games.
John McGinn.
Russell Latapy joined Hibs from a team in which European country?
Pass.
How many club teams did Jim McLean manage throughout his career?
Four.
What nationality is Aberdeen goalkeeper Keller Roos?
Belgium, from Belgium.
Holy, how do you think that went?
Craig Gordon in it.
No, it was outfield players, don't you worry about that.
Outfield,
okay, let's go through them. Which club team does Joe Rebo play for? Southampton. You both got it, one all. Who scored more league goals for Celtic, Callum McGregor or Joe Ledley? You both went for the other one, so someone's going to come out on top here. McGregor's got 36, Ledley's got 20. It's Callum McGregor. And Lee got it. He goes 2-1 in front. Wait till you hear this one as well. Scott Pittman. Look at him, he's Livy bias. Just can't see past Livy. Ever heard of a man called Lewis Stevenson?
Oh no.
Former teammate of yours by any chance?
Yes, he was. Carry on.
Well, it was an incredible effort for Pitts as well, because he must be right up there.
Yeah, he set a record.
Unfortunately, it's just not right.
Not long enough.
So it's 2-1 to Lee. Name any outfield player who played every minute of the Scotland games. John McGinn,
yep.
Jack Hendry or Callum McGregor? Callum McGregor is the answer to two different questions, Lee, and you got him twice. So it's 3-2.
Oh, he got it right.
Russell Latapy joined Hibs from a team in Portugal. None of you got that. Jim McLean managed one club team. That was the one I said just wasn't up your street, simply. Which means you need this. Lee didn't get this far.
No, Roos.
Keller Roos, you said he's from Belgium. You know what's even better about this as well? On the map.
Oh, no, he's from Holland, isn't he?
He's Dutch. He is Dutch.
Oh, no.
You are just over the border, and Lee has done it. Yes. I love nothing more than when Marvin Bartley loses. Well done, Lee and Benoon.
I'm not used to Fridays.
Good man. There we are. The sign ball is on its way.
Thank you.
Good man.
Well done,
I think
mate.
His punishment will make
well
him
done,
drive
mate.
It to Dunoon. You ever been to Dunoon?
No.
I didn't think you would have. There we go. Yes.
I'm raging. Oh, my record is gone, man. What's the point in playing anymore?
So defeatist.
Yeah.
I thought they were, like I said, I knew, although you're a big Hibs fan, Russell Latapy before your time, Jim McLean, I feared for you. But you've only got yourself to blame, because if anyone should have got Lewis Stevenson,
yeah,
it was you, and that would have been enough
that
to equalise.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Or if I'd have said Holland instead of Belgium.
Yeah, but that's
the final whistle going kind
yeah,
of
there we
me.
Go. It's all over. The
yeah,
run's over.
It happens.
You'll have to bounce back. You're it only happens. As good as your last game. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's hear a bit more from Ange Postecoglou. He was asked about his future. It's one of the great things or terrible things, whatever way you look at it, about the international break, is it allows all this stuff to sort of come up and just float around and speculation. And there's stuff going on at the moment. When it's a vacancy in England, or even a manager under pressure, you look at the job he's doing, whether it's two and two together, whether there's more to it. Well, he was asked about it today, and he says he's not really focused on that or any links to the Premier League. He's just focused on the here and now and the job he's got to do at Celtic.
It's fair to say speculation about my future has been with me from day one, you know, for different reasons. So yeah, look, I don't worry about the stuff. It doesn't enter my sort of brain space. I take on every job that I have and every challenge. If I start thinking about, you know, the speculation that's there now about potentially me moving on to I don't know where, then I would have been worried about it at the start when the people were saying that I wouldn't last too long. Particularly in today's world, we get antsy pretty quick. You know, we don't like to be settled. We want to know what's next. You know, I think I said last year, we want to watch our favourite series all in one night. You know, we don't want to wait week to week. So, you know, it's kind of the life we live these days. I'm still a bit old fashioned. I'll wait for the weekly episode before I watch my next series, mate.
Are we having that analogy? I quite like that. It's true.
Absolutely. You just want to blitz it on the first night. Absolutely. I'll tell you what I found interesting about his comments is there has been a bit of speculation, and he's normally kind of dealt with pretty well. He always deals with pretty well. But I did just read something. I'm talking about, well, I'm getting on and I've got this a shorter time now. I've got to achieve his dreams, his goals, his ambitions to maybe manage at a certain level. I did find that interesting because I think I said it on the show last week or the week before, he's obviously got big ambitions. He's managing a huge club. He's doing very, very well. When any job that comes up, I mean, whether it be Brighton or whether it be any other job that's come, his name's going to be in the frame based on the job that he's doing, but also the style that he's doing it with. So it's, I did find that a little bit interesting because he's driven, he wants to succeed, he wants to manage at the very, very top level. So I think it's only natural that when these jobs come up, he will get linked, and I do believe at some point he will move on.
Yeah, I mean, there's something quite refreshing about the old school. You know, you just wait every week for the next episode, the Great British Bake Off, and it's not the type of thing that you would need to sit and I think I see where he's coming from, Marvin, but the thing is, we as a footballing city, let's lump everything together, we've been stung recently because Celtic fans never thought Brendan Rodgers would leave and Steven Gerrard had unfinished business. Those two were different profile to each other, but also a different profile to Ange Postecoglou as well. But it's just like a player, isn't it? It's just a compliment, especially if he goes and makes a further dent in this Champions League or wins the title again or whatever. Clubs down there would be mad not to have a look, would they not?
No, exactly that. I think it's a massive compliment. Kenny mentioned kind of Brighton there before they got a new manager. You know, I think if you're a manager at Celtic or Rangers, go into Brighton, especially if you're in the Champions League, go into Brighton, I don't think whets the appetite. I really don't. I know it's going down to England, but I think you're going to a team that's probably going to be bottom five, bottom six. You're at the wrong end of things. If it's one of the teams that are in Europe, or, you know, even the Champions League, even better, I definitely understand that. But yeah, you know, what Ange is doing here, people are looking at him down the road and probably further afield as well and thinking what a magnificent job he's done there. Not only are Celtic winning games, but it's the way they're winning games. You know, they played against Real Madrid and, you know, people patting them on the back. Yes, they did lose a game, but for 60 minutes, they're absolutely fantastic. You know, his budget compared to Real Madrid, you know, their budget is far superior rather than Celtic. So listen, some of the football that he plays, the way he's got them going, especially on the back of what he took over from. You know, they really struggled that season before he came in. He came in late because you all know about the Eddie Howe saga. You know, they didn't hit the ground running. They had a really difficult night at Hearts. And what he's done from there on in has been absolutely fantastic. But as I said, it's got to be a big, big club for me, you know, to tempt him away from Celtic Park.
Yeah, I mean, William, look, it's just one of those things. It's speculation. It's not really more to it than that. But that's kind of where we are, William, isn't it? If we've got something nice, the big boys want to sometimes take it away. Is that something that plays in the back of your mind about Ange Postecoglou or not really?
No, good evening, guys. How's he doing? No, I think he's in a different mould, Ange. You know, I think he's not finished yet. I think he'll set his task. I remember Gordon Strang saying that four years was long enough for going to Celtic. So I'd be happy to get another 2 years out of him anyway, you know. But I just think Ange is in a different mould for Brendan Rodgers. I think he is obviously ambitious, you know, but I still think he wants to finish what he started, you know, and I'm hoping that's the case, you know, and I hope it's not just down to, I know, the purse strings, you know, and things like that, you know, but I think he's still got things to achieve with Celtic and where he wants to go with his team, you know, so I don't think he's finished yet. I think he'll stay for at least another year anyway, you know, or maybe even another two years, I think.
Yeah, the comparison with Brendan Rodgers it starts and ends with the fact that Celtic fans didn't think he would leave and he did. Other than that, it's not really much of a comparison because it is a different profile. He'd been down there before, he'd been successful before, much more in the mind, maybe felt to English clubs, rightly or wrongly, like a more obvious option. Is Ange Postecoglou, even as much as the Celtic fans love him, has he still got more to do to cut through to that ever, let me choose my word carefully here so I'm not insulting that, ever sceptical English market?
maybe, but I think you hit the nail on the head there when you said that Brendan had been down there before. And I felt, you know, when he left Liverpool after that job, he's probably thinking, how do I get back to the Premier League at a club of a decent size? How do I do that? And I think Celtic Football Club, they won't like me saying it, but I think he saw them as, you know, coming up to Celtic, doing well, then I can get another move down to England. I think Ange coming into Celtic, he has something to prove in Europe. There's no doubt about it. I don't think there was many fans of any club, as he said there, you know, people really doubted him when he came in, how long will he last, et cetera, et cetera. And now people are saying, you know, hope we can keep hold of him. So I think he has something different to prove, and he's proven that at this moment in time. But I think he's enjoying, you know, proving that. I think he's at a massive football club. As I said, he's in the Champions League. And one day someone will come in for him. And will it be the first club that he jumps at? I don't think so. I think it'll have to be the right club for him. Everything he says, you know, he's calculating everything he does. I don't think he's just going to jump at a chance of going down to a Brighton. As I said, I don't want to be disrespectful to them, but I think it has to be a team in Europe and a team of massive ambitions to get him out of Celtic Football Club.
William, I know you had another point, particularly for Marvin. What's your question for him tonight?
It's just a general point about the league itself. You know, does he think the league is stronger this year? And does he think that? I know he probably will say that Livingston is stronger this year, but we're losing. I think losing the boy Forrest was a big loss for Livingston. You know, so I just wanted to ask Marvin what you've seen so far. Does he think the league is stronger itself? And does he think, obviously, Livingston is stronger, you know?
Well, you're right. This will be great if he tells all the Livy players listening that they're not as good as the team from last year. Sit back and enjoy this, Kenny.
No. Listen, he makes a fabulous point. I do think that the league is stronger. I do see that from the teams in the games we've played so far. I think if you look at last season, you know, Hibs and Aberdeen, where they finished, I think that was kind of false for them. I think, you know, Aberdeen have kind of been up and down. Same with Hibs. I expect them to get a lot more points this season than they did last season. So in terms of that, it definitely is stronger. Alan Forrest was a massive, massive loss for us. There's no doubt about it. You know, the club did everything they possibly could to keep him at the club. You know, but Hearts came in for him. You know, they had European football, you know, bigger wages, and he decided to go. So if you said to me or to the manager, you know, would you take Alan Forrest back right now? 100% we would. You know, we kind of play a different style now. Don't rely as much on wingers, but, you know, Alan Forrest is a massive, massive player for us. And yeah, we definitely do miss him.
I feel like the strength of the league question almost entirely hinges on Hibs and Aberdeen, Kenny, because it's early to make the statement that they surely can't be as bad as last year. They finished 8th and 10th. Hibs 8th, Aberdeen 10th. Aberdeen 10th. Like, unthinkable. And it happened. Both of them. You look, even already this season, they're, you know, sitting 6th and 7th. Yes, it's early days. Aberdeen, they both look like they've at least got the makings of being better than that, surely.
I think they will be. There's one thing for sure, if they're not and they don't make it into the top 6, then it's fair to say the managers won't be there next year, or they might not even make it to the end of the year, because the clubs will demand that they are fighting for the European slots. But what they've got is they've got some real competition. At the moment, Hearts are the third force by a good way, in my opinion. And you've got teams like Livingston who know what they're doing. They've done it regularly. They're always going to compete, and they're looking really, really strong at the moment. Stephen Robinson's now getting a turn out at St Mirren. He's got them after a wee rocky start, and maybe he's just coming through the door, and he's had a summer and he's signing new players. They didn't look great in the League Cup, but I'll tell you, they look a decent team now. I mean, they beat Celtic last week. I thought they were excellent away at Dundee United, albeit Dundee United have got their own problems. But there's some real competition in there. So Hibs and Aberdeen are going to have to be really, really good to start pushing these teams out of the way, because there is some real competition there. And Motherwell, again, pretty similar to Aberdeen and Hibs, that they'll win a couple of games, they might lose in a couple of games, but it's going to be the team that hit a decent run of form and consistent form that'll kind of be challenged, or maybe challenging Hearts, or at least looking for the fourth or fifth slot. So Hibs and Aberdeen have still got to prove they can do that over the course of the season. Like you say, they're sitting sixth and seventh at the moment. Yes, I expect them to finish better than 10th Aberdeen and 8th Hibs.
Thank you, William. It's 01419511025. It is Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Let's hear a bit more from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. He wants to put the disappointing results before the international break behind him, and he's keen to build on that win from the Dundee United game a couple of weeks back.
Well, I mean, we reset. I mean, of course, we had some disappointing results the last weeks, you know, especially the away game against Celtic, of course, Champions League, two big defeats. I think the win against Dundee United helped us in the sense of getting back to the 3 points. I think that's all we can do, just to stay focusing on winning our games. And that's the most important thing we have to do. And we have to continue with that. You know, we still have a big game tomorrow against Hearts away. So we want to continue the run of winning in the league, and then I think that's the focus we all have.
Alan's a Rangers fan in Coatbridge. What's on your mind ahead of this big game tomorrow, Alan?
I would just want to speak to Kenny about his thoughts on changing the formation in terms of, you know, instead of a number nine up front, maybe the two of them playing up front, you know, Morelos and Kolač. I don't know what Kenny's thoughts on that are. I know we play a 4-3-3 just now. However, I think it would be better to go for a 3-5-2, if you know what I mean.
I'll tell you now, Alan, he's shaking his head, so I'm not sure he's imagining it, Kenny.
You know, I said it earlier, I can't see it happening. You're right, that is a formation that could get the two of them in. A 4-4-2 could be it. Again, there is different ways that you could get both of them in the team. I don't think they're the types of strikers that you could play the same way and maybe one of them play wide, or I don't think you could play the 4-2-3-1 and one of them being the one that's a little bit more withdrawn. I don't think that's the types of players they are. If they played, so I ask you, Alan, if we played, if Rangers played 3-5-2, where do you see Ryan Kent feature?
Well, Kenny, you and I both know, I think he's drifting out the team. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't know if Gio's going to tweak the formation to suit the opponent, shall we say. But I just think it's too predictable at this present time.
So, Alan, you don't think Ryan Kent is the stick-on must-play player that he was previously?
No, I don't. I know he costs £7 million quid or whatever, but he is not lit the header, shall we say.
Kenny?
No, I have to agree. But what I also say, he'll play. I've absolutely no doubt he'll play. So come 12:30 tomorrow, 11:30 when the teams come out, I think you'll see Ryan Kent in a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1 playing off the left. I think he actually could play in a 3-5-2, but that's why we just thrown it at you, Alan, to see what you thought, because I think he could play in a kind of freer role in behind the front two if you had two more solid midfielders in there. So I think there's still a way you could get both strikers in the team and Ryan in the team, and it still worked pretty well. I mean, the wing-backs at Rangers, if it was a 3-5, would be Tavernier and Barisic, who... They play attacking anyway. They're always high again, Rangers, and more often not have got the ball, and they're the team that's always asking the questions. So you could definitely promote them higher up the field. You would still have players in the midfield that can control. So I just think having the three at the back would be, I think Rangers struggling at one centre back, but never mind three at the moment. So I don't think it'll happen, I'll be honest. I think it's really, really good. I said at the top of the show, having two strikers vying for that one slot is really, really good. Both of them are going to have to push. They're going to have to be right at the top of their game to get the jersey, that's for sure, because the other one is not going to be acceptable just sitting on the bench. So I understand, I've been asked that a lot over the last few weeks about, because the two strikers are really good, and it's always going to be the question, if you've got two really good strikers and you want to play a 4-3-3, how can you get them in the team? Do you change it? I can't see Gio changing.
Right, educate me. If in the past Rangers have really, for a long time, they've not really had that obvious right-sided, you know, winger, if you like, or wide player. If you look at who it's been Joe Aribo and it's been Tom Lawrence, and, you know, they've signed Matondo and they've signed other guys, but it's never really stuck. Why can't Alfredo Morelos go out there? Why can't Antonio Colak go out there? And then you do still have them both in the team without changing your formation. What is it about them that wouldn't work?
Colak can't do that. That's that. End of. You can't put him right wing.
Is he just in between the posts?
He's a box striker. Okay. He relies on service. Look where his goals come from. He is not ever too far away from that penalty spot when the balls are coming in the box, or if there's a little threaded passes through like you've seen against Dundee United, or like Ryan Kent put him through for his goal against Ross County. That's where he lives. He's not anywhere. He's not going to go out wide. Will he run a channel? Will he work hard? Yes, he will, but he's not going to start out there. It's completely different. And I actually think the same for Alfredo. It's more likely that he could do it, but you imagine Alfredo Morelos' face if he got shifted to the right wing and somebody else is the number nine.
Got a track back,
you know,
as well.
Exactly. It's just not in the makeup.
Try to think of your Rangers teams. I mean, for instance, you would have way back, would you know, Stephen Naismith, a sort of traditional striker, would he have come in off there? Did Martin Waghorn do it in your second spell?
I done it as well. Again, that are just different players with different mindsets. Again, when it was Mark Warburton's Rangers, at the front three would normally have been either myself, Waghorn and Barry Mackay. Barry Mackay would always, again, like Ryan Kent, always play off the left. So it was down to me and Waggy to kind of spell it on the other side. Nicky Clark would come into the team in that team as well and play either the striker or the other one. But it's just not in the makeup. And Giovanni won't do it. You want players to be play their specialised positions and be equally effective. Mm. But you're right. Matondo's been the one that's probably been signed, and Lawrence is a big miss because he was doing that job pretty well.
Right, thank you, Alan. Before we go any further, let me remind you of this.
Super Scoreboard European football coverage with MoyerandSweeney.com. The top team for your defence.
Yeah, the big European nights are back, aren't they? And thanks to Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, we will be here bringing you our European football coverage this season. And to celebrate, they're giving you the chance to win a 60-inch Samsung 4K Ultra HD TV. If you want to learn more about MoyerandSweeney.com, you can find out obviously on that website, Clyde1.com, get the details as well, offering you high quality representation no matter who you are throughout Scotland. So whether you've got a small matter or a big one that needs dealt with, they have got your back, and they are putting up that 60-inch Samsung TV as well. How good would that look to watch those big European nights? So go to Clyde1.com to find out more. And we are back with one of those extended shows on Tuesday, 6 until 11pm, when Rangers head to Anfield to take on Liverpool. I've got the perfect, and I mean it, full-time teaser for you two. It's going to take your specialist subject, Marvin Bartley, and it's going to compliment you, Kenny Miller, and you will scoosh it. The question is coming next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller are here, and I think between the two of them, they're going to scoosh this teaser. We're going to use... I mean, you've both got top knowledge of Scottish football. I'm not questioning you there, Marvin Bartley. But we need your knowledge of the greater London area as well here. Okay. On this, right? I like this question from the Crazy Pony, and I saved it for you specifically. Yes. So can you name the last player to sign for either of the Old Firm from each of the London-based teams in English football?
On loan or permanent?
Permanently only. I'm glad you asked, Kenny Miller. Can you name the last player to sign for either of the Old Firm teams on permanent transfers from each of the London-based teams in the English Football League? So it's only one from each of each team. So obviously, by the time you get to some of those clubs, we could be going back a bit. You still look confused.
Yeah, no, I'm not confused.
Sorry, in Premier League teams, is that what that is?
No, right, or across the...
So all the English teams...
All the London teams.
All the London
so
teams.
How many answers are
one,
there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The Crazy Pony reckons there are 9. Please don't phone and complain that you think there's another team that should be considered a London team, right?
Because I think there will be a few more. And I'm going to throw a name out straight away. Covered a few.
Okay, but to be fair, there will be some London teams that it's not applicable.
Yeah.
Because they've never sold one to Celtic or Rangers.
I'm going to throw Ian Wright out. No.
No, he was Burnley, wasn't he? Or was it Burnley after?
It's not.
Oh, from one of the clubs.
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, okay. Oof, there we go. Toilet in.
Yeah, we're in big trouble.
No, let's right, start. I'll help you. Start most recently. You'll get there.
Oh, thanks for that.
Right, okay.
So who did they sign in the summer? Either of them from a London-based team?
Oof, my God. Rangers, no. Celtic, must have been. Who did they sign? Right, Carter Vickers.
Who did he come from?
Spurs.
See, once you get one, once the ball gets rolling, it's a bit easier than you.
Ball stopped.
So, I mean, what other clubs are we thinking of here, Marv?
So, West Ham, Arsenal, Chelsea.
Brentford.
Chelsea, Jarasic.
Yes, there we go. See? Yuri Jarasic from Chelsea. Now, I don't mind pointing you in the right direction, otherwise we'll be here all night. There is no Brentford one, right? So Rangers or Celtic have never signed anyone permanently from Brentford, you would have to assume. One of your former clubs, I think? Leighton Orient?
Yeah.
Never happened, right? So they're...
There's a bit of money
There's one from there, I was thinking.
Not applicable either, so...
Okay.
So what else would we be looking at? What other types of clubs? You've mentioned...
West Ham?
West Ham,
Arsenal. There.
The likes, then you can down divisions a bit.
Charlton?
Exactly.
Joe Rebo.
There we go. Yep. See, okay, three down.
Come on, Marv, way in, lad.
I've got nothing for you.
By the way,
sorry.
I think I said nine. I think it's 10. I turned my page. Wow. There's one more. Okay. Some breaking news tonight is that Derek McInnes has signed a new deal at Kilmarnock. They've extended his contract to the 2026, I believe. Going to be a big weekend for him. Hope he remembers the right dugout and home dressing room when he goes to Pittodrie tomorrow. But he celebrates it with a new contract. Is that good news for you, Simon, as a Kilmarnock fan?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi guys, how are you doing? Hope you're all well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got a couple of points to make tonight. First of all, I'd just like to say I'm just back from Krakow today, so I've not really been in a fit state to contact you about Scotland. But
kicked the backside out of that trip, did you not?
Oh, it was actually cheaper to stay for two extra nights and get a flight back today.
I heard that before, Simon.
Yeah, so I just want to say well
done. It's not cheaper once you add in two extra days of food and drink and hotels. It's just a false economy.
160 a beer, it's not that bad. So I had a fantastic few days. So Scotland did us proud. I thought we were absolutely fantastic. And, you know, great credit as well to Jack Henry, who over the few games I thought was absolutely sensational. But onto Kilmarnock, absolutely delighted with the news today. You know, it's been a tough few days. If you're a Kilmarnock fan, I'll just go on to that point quickly. First about Kyle Lafferty, I don't think the club have went far enough. To be honest, I don't think the language that he used in that video, and he's admitted now in the Kilmarnock statement, is not acceptable. It's not something I want to be associated with my football club. I think I speak for quite a lot of people who support smaller teams in Scotland. Is that one of the reasons that we support those teams is because of the lack of, you know, connection to that side of, you know, sort of Irish history, if you want to put it that way. And I don't think that it's anything that I want associated with my football team. Understand there's legalities and with regards to written up contracts and things like that. It's not just simple. But I think with the SFA now charging them, and the minimum is 10 games, I personally can see him getting more than that. I think that I'm a bit worried that whilst I don't think it's acceptable and whilst I think he should be punished, I'm a bit concerned that Kilmarnock will be made a scapegoat here and we're going to be the one who's going to be the example by the SFA, and they're going to be like, okay, you know, this is no longer acceptable, and it's Kilmarnock that will suffer more. You know, John Guidetti, obviously similar situation a few years ago when he was the Celtic player, and I just worry that for a, you know, an organisation that seems so against you know, the way that FIFA run things and strict liability, I think that needs to come in if we want to stamp this out of our game. Because there's no other way. It's going to look extremely stupid to somebody on the outside when they hear, you know, 50,000 fans at a certain club singing those words, but then a player who says it, which again, I'll reiterate, is unacceptable, you know, seems to get, you know, 10, 15, maybe even longer than that game ban. It just seems, I just wish there was a bit of, you know, clarity all across the board.
I think the key to the distinction, Marvin, between, I mean, Simon mentions John Guidetti or this others before, and by the way, I have absolutely no desire on a Friday night to argue about whether the words used are comparable or not. That's not really the point, because Simon doesn't even care about that. He's talking about those types of misdemeanour. The rules have just changed, and if you do want to talk about that, rightly or wrongly, it was 7 years ago. I mean, Simon says it was 7 years ago. There's not much that anybody can do about the fact that the rules have changed quite significantly since then. And very recently, Scottish FA got a lot of plaudits for it, and I know you were sort of part of that process, yeah, or in the role that you fulfilled to make it a 10 game minimum for misdemeanours of that type.
Yeah, and the rules changed, and rightly so. You know, Simon said there, it's kind of 2022, and you know, I was quite shocked myself when I saw that it was, I think, 2-game minimum ban before. And for me, that wasn't enough. You know, we're trying to stamp this stuff out of football, most definitely, but also out of society. You know, it's not acceptable because, you know, someone's, you know, a different colour, a different religion, whatever else, you know, people can view them and say certain things about them. We don't want that in the game. You know, Scottish football's got so much going for it, and this is, you know, somewhere we need to go and kind of stamp out. It's kind of the elephant in the room at this moment in time. And, you know, it's unacceptable. It really is unacceptable. And, you know, Kilmarnock have released their statement. The Scottish FA said what they've needed to say. And I think the investigation is still ongoing. So we don't know how many games he's going to get, but he will be banned. And, you know, Carl's came out and obviously kind of apologised and admitted to the offence. And, you know, now he has to wait and see what happens.
Is there no part of you, Simon, that subscribes to the view of, you know, if there is an apology, which there is, if it's meant, if it's sincere, if it's heartfelt, if you show that you are sorry or that you've learned, you know, Kilmarnock talking about various measures they're going to take and different work that he's going to go on. I guess what I'm getting at is that general idea of rehabilitation. Is that not something that you go for?
Absolutely. I think there should be the opportunity to have that. And I do understand that that's probably what Kilmarnock are planning to do in the moment. But I wonder personally if, you know, the ban gets handed down and there's an actual SFA legality behind it saying that he is guilty of this offence, whether that then triggers some sort of clause in his contract of, you know, bringing the club and name into disrepute. Because if he's banned for 15, 20 games, he'll be one of our top earners as well, looking at it from a financial perspective. You know, it's going to be really, really bad for Kilmarnock. But yeah, I do agree that if he is remorseful and he realises what he said was wrong and he does want to do the work with the community and different charities, that you should be given that opportunity, yeah, but I still don't feel comfortable with it being associated with my football club. And, you know, it's a really tricky line to try and kind of navigate. But, yeah, you know, it's a bad situation for everyone involved, to be honest. But I agree with Marvin that the 10 games is the right thing. It's just strikes a bit hollow when it does seem like, you know, it's easier to punish one person than punish, you know, 50,000. It's obviously always like that, but it just seems a bit, you know, it's a bit frustrating from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, in Scottish football, and you, Simon mentions UEFA, have very different views on that, which you do. You also would understand part of that as well, Simon, Marvin, because, and maybe Simon would back this up. I mean, if, I don't know, 10, 15, 150, whatever it may be, Kilmarnock fans sing something untoward, is it right that the club gets that blanket punishment? And what can they do to police that? Like, this argument over whether strict liability works or not is a very old and reoccurs time and time again.
Yeah, but we need to find a way to punish the individuals. Because, you know, if you walk down the street and you say something, then, you know, the police are there, CCTV, et cetera, et cetera. In England, they had a massive problem with hooligans, you know, within stadiums, outside of stadiums. And they've managed to get, you know, so far away from where they were maybe 10 or 15 years ago because they just literally walk around with the big CCTV cameras. They record what people are doing and they find them at a later date. They have a database. You know, if people are singing these sorts of songs with a CCTV that you must have in the Premier League stadiums, you know, these people can be picked out. And until Simon's right, until we do something about that, then others might think it's all right. The next generation's coming through might say, well, I go to football with my uncle or my auntie, whoever it might be. I hear these songs so I can go and sing it in the playground or, you know, when they go into society. We're not going to be able to stamp it out unless, you know, the police have to say it's a criminal matter. They must deal with this. They must stamp down on this. It's for too long, people are saying, oh, you know, it's football, it happens. No, that's not acceptable anymore because now it's affecting society, you know, as a whole.
Thank you, Simon. So Kyle Lafferty's situation ongoing. Derek McInnes does go back to Pittodrie tomorrow. I feel that's a great story, that. And you've got, obviously, we know what's at stake, Hearts Rangers and Celtic Motherwell, and everyone will be looking at Ryan Porteous when Hibs go up to Dingwall and St Mirren. Stephen Robinson's frustrated today because one of his players hasn't come back in time or is a bit late coming back. So there's a lot going into all of these games. And here's what Derek McInnes had to say ahead of that game tomorrow.
I love my time there. You know, I worked with a lot of very good players. Had 4 second place finishes. Should have been 5 second place finishes if the referee does his job right in the last game of the season. So there's a lot that goes into that. That's no, we didn't do it by spending money. We didn't do it by throwing big wages away. We did it by sheer hard work, a real togetherness. And we did it by really good recruitment and hungry players. We had a brilliant spirit. We did that reinventing the squad time and time again to try and meet the demand. So I think for my side it and the staff side it, it was an enjoyable time because we worked with a lot of good players and we worked with a lot of good people, but it was a collective effort. And from that side it, you know, for the vast majority of the time, it was such an enjoyable time. 8 years in management, is you're not always going to get it easy. You're not always going to be by the roses, and there's ups and downs within that, but by and large, it was, we feel as though it was a period where we can look back fondly. I certainly can, working closely with the players and the people within the club.
You deserve a good reaction, Kenny, from the Aberdeen fans tomorrow.
Absolutely. I mean, again, he done a wonderful job there. Again, it's 8 years, a long old time in management now, and he achieved a lot. He won trophies. He got to cup finals. Obviously, he finished second for a number of years. Firstly, when Rangers weren't in the league normally comfortably, and also when Rangers came back into the league, they also finished second, which was a big achievement as well. So he'd done a wonderful job over the piece. And again, you had to talk about reinventing the squad. I mean, when you're at a club that long, there's going to be a lot of turnaround of players. You're going to have to recruit really, really well to replace guys. You're missing, even think of some of the players that moved on as well for his team again. Guys like McGann and Hayes and things who went to Celtic.
Ryan Christie and Shinny and McLean and Jack.
So many players that left that team, and he had to find guys to come in again. It was maybe Lewis Ferguson's coming through to replace that, these types of midfielders. But he'd done a wonderful job. So absolutely, when he goes back there, I mean, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. He never left on any bad terms, I'm assuming. Yep, things sometimes things just run its course, and I'm sure they'll give him a warm welcome when he gets back there.
And I know they say self-praise is no praise, but do you know who did a wonderful job? Me, to keep a straight face, because I was in that press conference, and see when he said, and I mean, we would have finished second another time if the ref had done his job properly. On behalf of every Motherwell fan who was at Pittodrie that day in 2015, it took a great effort for me just to not have a wee chuckle to myself at that one. If you've never seen John Sutton's assault on Jamie Langfield that goes unpunished and the ball ends up in the back of the net and Motherwell finish second, it's great Friday night viewing. Get on YouTube. Aberdeen fans, please look away. 01419511025. We are on Twitter as well. Right, this teaser, I like it. Can you name the last player to sign for either of the Old Firm permanently from each of the London based teams in the English Football League? So from Spurs it's Carter Vickers, from Charlton it's Joe Aribo, from Chelsea it's Yuri Yarasik. Kenny Miller has got all of them. Marvin, do you care to?
I think I've got two. Chris Sutton from Chelsea.
Oh, Yarasik is Chelsea's.
Oh, Carlton Cole.
This guy, Carlton Cole. I think it was just a loan, or he's not on the list anyway. Yeah. So no.
I think I've got is O'Reilly from MK Dons. Does that count as a London club?
No, he's
got to be in there.
Nah,
surely.
He says he's counted Wimbledon FC as the alternative to AFC Wimbledon. So he's.
That's not AFC Wimbledon.
He's done you. What's going on?
He's done you there.
Just making up as you go.
So there's a Wimbledon player, you say?
No, but there is.
For a while ago.
Yes.
Marcus Gayle.
Marcus Gayle, there we are.
Yeah, he's on the list.
Where is Carlton Cole?
Not on the list.
How
does that matter?
I'm going to look him up.
What about James McCarthy, Palace?
No, hold on. This is the thing, Marvin. You are missing the point. There is another player from West Ham that signed for an Old Firm club after him, so it wouldn't be him.
Oh, okay. I'm with you now.
James McCarthy from Palace.
I'm glad one of you gets this. Right, we'll get the rest of the answers next.
So hot in there.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller are here. Just before we move on to the rest of the show, just a quick one to mark your card. If you can't get enough of Scottish football, which is understandable because there's a lot going on, make sure you check out our pals here, Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron. They've got their new podcast, The Big Scottish Football Show with Col Robert. Various things going on there, an SPFL review every Monday, some good features in there, and I love this. They've actually put this down to me as if this is supposed to be a selling point. Marvin Bartley, what do you make of this? It says special guests like Celtic's Mark Wilson, who needs to hear more from him, and Ailey Barber, it says, has been on the podcast. So you've not even listened?
No, of course I have.
And was it great?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
So you would listen?
I'd recommend it.
I'm sure you would. You have to say that. Your dinner's at stake here. Available to download every week on all your usual podcast platforms, the Big Scottish Football Podcast. And that's brought to you by Col Robert, the Diamond Cut Alloy Specialist. So thanks to the guys there for supporting that one. Right, how are you two getting on with this teaser? It's can you name the last player to sign for either of the Old Firm on permanent deals from each of the London clubs? So like Spurs is Carter Vickers, Crystal Palace is James McCarthy, Charlton is Joe Aribo. So it's not that hard when you start to go through some of them. Chelsea, Yuri Yarasik. Then it gets a bit tougher. Wimbledon is Marcus Gayle. Any others during the break? Marvin, have you...
Yeti from West Ham.
Yes, Albion Ayeti. We barely get to know him, but he's signed from West Ham. Well done.
Terry Hurlock, Millwall.
Wow, all the way back to Terry Hurlock in the early 90s.
Way back.
Dembele?
Fulham.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Fulham?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Moussa Dembele.
Oh, I was right.
The 16-17 season.
Shoot
right.
Myself.
Two to get. One, absolutely doable. I'd be disappointed in you if you didn't get it. The other, forget it. We've got a night out to go to after the show and we'll never make it if I let you two try and get the other one. But we'll see how we get on. Before the end of the show, what else should we take a look at? Obviously, we try and do a whistle-stop tour of the fixtures on a Friday night and a bit of a preview. No disrespect, Marvin, to your former club who hold a special place in your heart. No disrespect to the good people of Dingwall. For a so-called neutral audience, or for a Glasgow and the West audience, shall we say, I think it's fair to say that Hibs games have had that little added bit of interest tomorrow and going forward, to see how Ryan Porteous kicks on from his Scotland debut. I feel like there's now going to be even more focus on him. What did you make of it, and how he performed the other night?
Yeah, I thought his debut, I thought he was fantastic. You know, I thought he was helped by Jack Hendry next to him, who for me has been brilliant for Scotland over this kind of week period. But I thought Ryan was brilliant. I thought there was a lot of pressure on him, obviously, going into the game. You know, making his debut, as you know, Kenny could tell us more about than I can. But I thought he handled it really, really well. You know, his last game for Hibs, obviously, he came to a bit of criticism for winning the penalty against Aberdeen. You know, Jim was quite outspoken in what he said in terms of Ryan throwing himself down. So
that's an understatement.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. So, you know, he had, you know, kind of worries away from the pitch. But I thought he was brilliant. I really, really did. I thought he played on the left-hand side of, you know, of the two at the back, or two centre-halves, which is difficult. You know, he's done it at times for Hibs because Paul Hanlon's not been there. But I thought Ryan took it in the stride. And like you said, now people will be watching him, because his fans won't like me saying it, but his contract's up at the end of the season. So he's kind of put himself into a market now where other teams, maybe in England, we're looking at him, and, you know, maybe the rest of Europe, because he's seen a lot of Scottish players, you know, go further afield.
Remind me, what the overlap between you and him at Hibs wouldn't have been much, I guess, but was he a young player coming through?
Yeah, he was, yeah. So he trained with the first team and stuff.
And it's the old cliched question, you know, it's come. Did you think then he would, you know, go on and be such an impressive Scotland debutant?
No, I didn't, if I'm honest. You know, Ryan kind of wears his heart on his sleeve. You see in the matches, he does that in training as well. And at times it was kind of missed time tackles in training. But he's a young boy coming through, he's a centre half, he's kind of learning his trade. And for me, he's maturing. You know, week by week, he's maturing. And again, that's the most mature performance I've seen from him, was in the Scotland jersey. And I think he can build from that. You know, I think he'll look back at it. He does watch all his games back. He'll look back at that. You see the way he played. He didn't get involved in anything. You know, the strikers didn't try and wind the strikers up. He didn't get involved in anything, you know, away from being actually kind of on the ball. And for me, it's fantastic. And that's what he needs to do going forward. Because if Ryan does that, concentrates on defending, concentrates on his passing when he's coming out, for me, he can go on to be a top, top defender.
Is it now about finding that real consistency starting at Dingwall tomorrow? Very different surroundings, very different challenge, Kenny. There's a school of thought there, which is, if you can handle the Ukraine forward line, you can handle Ross Counties. But football doesn't always work like that.
It doesn't always work like that. Sometimes you've not got the quality next to you as well, or in front of you, that obviously help dealing with the situation. But Mar's right, he was absolutely excellent. There was a lot of questions getting asked of him, how he would perform. Could he keep a level head? Is he going to get involved in something stupid that we've seen a lot of times in the domestic league? But never. He put on a really mature performance. He is a really good player. I've liked him for a long time. I've said numerous times, if he was just focused on the job at hand and doing his job really well, and he's capable of doing that, he's a really good centre back. He's a really good ball playing centre back as well. His passing's really, really good. Again, the fact that he was playing on the left as well shows that it's not natural for him to be on that side. But I'll tell you, he was absolutely excellent in the game. So, yeah, it starts. I mean, he's been pretty consistent, to be honest, over. I mean, he's consistently been involved in situations as well over his time as a Hibs first team player. But he's a wonderful player. And if he can use that and show that maturity that he showed on Tuesday night in his performances at Hibs, then there's no doubt. I mean, Hibs are going to do really, really well. Even if he signs a new contract, to be honest, somebody could come and get him next summer.
Great card tomorrow, Dundee United, St Johnstone. It's the start of the official Liam Fox era, if you like, in charge. I was up there speaking to him the other day. He was asking for you, Marvin Bartley. And then your game tomorrow, St Mirren Livy. What about does this change your scouting plan? Stephen Robinson's been on the Flight Radar app all week because Keanu Backus and Ryan Strain played in the same doubleheader as Alex Grieve. They came back on Wednesday. But Alex Grieve, I don't know where he's been. He didn't play since last Sunday, and he's only just back, and it's thrown Stephen Robinson's plans into chaos. Does that matter? Does that impact Livy's plans?
No, I didn't expect him to start anyway. You know, the two centre-forwards they've got playing at the moment have been fantastic for them. You know, they've been pivotal to everything St Mirren have done. I think St Mirren struggled at the start, but they've gone from strength to strength, especially with those two playing up front together. But it must be frustrating for a manager, as you said, you know, two of his players who played against him are back, and he all of a sudden he's not back, and it makes it hard. And I wonder if he'll even be in the squad tomorrow. You know, he's a very, very good talented footballer, but you can't do that.
Right, you've got two more to get on this teaser then. I don't mind giving it away to you, or a bit of a clue. We're looking for the last player to come up to the Old Firm on a permanent deal from QPR, and one from Arsenal. I hope you've got them because we are out of time.
Clint Hill.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you didn't get that one, former teammate of yours, Clint Hill from QPR. Now, I did say there's a bit of a, I don't know if you keep this in the doubt, there's a bit of a Clyde One Super Scoreboard night out about to take place here. You need to get this.
They've left that right to the end to get that. I'm toiling, I'll be honest.
We need to get
Arsenal. We need a clue.
Yeah, I think you'll struggle.
What position? Don't even know.
Forget it.
Well, I think
it's on a winger, attacker. Listen, but before my time, he played for Celtic in the early 90s 7 times.
Initial?
MH.
MH.
Also played for, well, obviously Arsenal, for Swansea.
I'm out.
Marvin, there is no chance.
Yeah, I'm tapping
you
out.
Might be my only hope here.
No.
I've tapped out.
Martin Hayes.
Nah.
Who's
he?
Nah,
I don't know. Anyway, thank you, Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller. We are back tomorrow, a 6-hour special. You won't want to miss that. From noon, building up to Hearts Rangers, then the rest of the games, then your calls on the open line. It is all happening. The usual suspects in the studio, and GBX Anthems up next.